Hey, hi everybody. This is Certified Life and Executive Business Coach, Dr. Nelson Beltajar, coming to you live from Toronto, Canada. And for those of you listening, I'm asking you to please buckle your seatbelts and get ready, because Aubrey is about to take you on the road to rediscovery with another great episode. Grab your favorite beverage, sit in your favorite room, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, you can hear this show anywhere you get your podcasts, worldwide, even on platforms you may not have even heard of. If you happen to listen on Apple Podcasts, we invite you to leave a rate and review. We also invite you to leave a rate and review on Spotify now that they have feedback and rating capabilities. If you don't listen to either of those platforms, but you listen to the show on another platform, we still want your input. We still want your feedback. Just shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com, and tell us what's on your mind. We'll give you a shout out in a future episode. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. All right. My special guest is a human potential coach, scientist, and healing practitioner who supports people in their transformation from the trappings of ordinary mind to flourishing in a life of flow and joy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Holly Copeland to the show. Holly, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Aubrey. I'm so delighted to be here. And just, hello, listeners. Just super happy for the invitation. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. We're thrilled that you're here as well. So you've had a 25-year career as a conservation scientist, right? Can you give us some context on the series of events that routed your journey to what you're doing now with coaching and healing?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the question. I was a child who absolutely connected deeply with the environment. And, you know, when my parents took me camping, I was very fortunate enough to spend, even though I grew up in a suburban environment, to spend quite a bit of time camping and backpacking. And that childhood really cemented a deep love of the earth. And so I was the little girl who wanted to save the whales, you know, who wanted to hug a tree. I was just in love with the planet. And so when it came time to choose a career for myself in college, I navigated towards environmental sciences. And what for me, a dream job would be to work in an environmental organization and help, you know, save the planet. So to put it kind of in simple, you know, the simple minds of a child, that was my dream job. And I worked my way there. So when I was in my mid-20s, I landed a job with the Nature Conservancy, an incredible conservation organization. And I did that work for 20 years for them. And then actually went on to work as a research scientist for the University of Wyoming, studying migrating elk and deer, who have some of the longest migrations in the lower 48, are mule deer migrations. And they're actually mule deer who travel from the southern part of Wyoming all the way through Wyoming and up to Idaho, 150 or more miles. And they make this journey twice a year. So up, you know, and then back in the winter. So I was studying these migrations and, you know, by all rights, doing, you know, some really valuable work. And at the same time, in my mid to late 40s, I was starting to feel a sense of what I would describe it as like a never enoughness. Like it just felt like no matter what I was doing, it would never be enough. And, you know, and I got to that mid 40s point where you feel like, look, I've done everything society's told me to do to be happy, joyful person. You know, I've checked all the boxes. I have children. I have a loving husband. I have this incredible job. And by all rights, I should be incredibly happy. But I wasn't. And I was feeling a missing piece inside and a sense of like, there's always going to be another environmental catastrophe around the corner that, you know, will be there. And a kind of a sense of hopelessness to it all. And that sense of hopelessness led me down a deeper spiritual path that while I had been kind of, I've been in and out of the spiritual realms, even actually since a kid, but I really decided I needed to take it more seriously. And I started meditating. I actually went to my first excursion was to go to a meditation retreat for a weekend and try meditating all weekend, which like blew my mind how hard that was. I had no idea. I actually remember being there and after being in this meditation class all day, there was a young man who was there and he was just, you know, helping one of the teachers. And I struck up a conversation. I said, oh, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm here all month. I said, oh, really? So you're meditating every day all month? And he's like, oh yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I just barely made it through 8 hours and he was doing right. this for 30 days. It just, you know, it was a real wake up call. But it took me on an inner path, the deep meditation path and a deeper spiritual journey. And that began basically a 6 year from starting in 2018, deep dive into really understanding what it means to know self, to awaken, these terms that we use, like spiritual enlightenment and what does it mean to awaken and of that. Right. And so I started meditating 2-3 hours a day, and studying meditation and then also working with some plant medicines, and that whole journey, like turned my life into what I call now like a path of inner rewilding, where it was no longer, I couldn't tolerate anymore just trying to save the planet. I actually had to befriend and love, you know, myself. And, you know, hence the inner, what I call now the inner rewilding path. Like I actually think this human life is about deeply reconnecting with the nature within, and that everything is a mirror. Everything we see outside is a mirror to reflect back to us actually, and calling to us to reconnect to the elements of nature, earth, air, fire, and water, the frequencies of nature that are what we are. They're not separate from us, that our bodies actually have the codes and these frequencies of nature. And the spiritual path to me is an evolving, turning on that hardware within us, those frequencies, and reconnecting to that, which is the essence of inner rewilding. And that's what I'm exploring today. That's what I'm, you know, mentoring, I don't want to say teaching, but you know, that's what I'm, where I find myself in that space of human evolution. And I think at some level to me, what I would have before called like this path to try to save the environment and thinking that there was some way that we could do that externally, I think the path is internally to turn on the natural technology and the reconnection within, that's actually what's going to, if I can use the words, save humanity.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I love that. I love how you articulated that, for sure, Holly. You know, this truly sounds like a very deep, immersive, introspective experience that one goes through to reconnect and rediscover themselves and the nature of themselves from within, and you're saying this is like a prerequisite to connecting with nature. You must connect with yourself first.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Gotcha. You know, I think that the, you know, we talk about like the benefits of forest bathing and And being in nature. And those things, I think, are crucial for facilitating, for reminding us
right
about this natural connection. But we can't stop there in just immersing ourselves in nature. there's an inner path that we're actually taking, and an inner technology we're turning on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I appreciate that too. because I think we'd have to take that approach when it comes to different people of different mindsets, right? Some people, and I don't want to say it's a difference between open-mindedness and closed-mindedness, but it's more of just naturally some people have the ability to look deeper, to search deeper, and other people they pretty much live by what they see in front of them, you know. And so when you have those opposite sides of the spectrum of different types of people and mindsets, how can we articulate for those who just see or live by what's in front of them to realize a difference? And, you know, like, what are some of the differences that one would encounter when making that upgrade to an awakened mind? So obviously meditation is one of the vehicles in which we can use and we can practice for that immersive experience. But from someone who has, say, the ordinary mind of just trying to fill in life's demands versus someone who has like an awakened mind or encounter from meditation, what are some of those, telltale signs or differences that one would encounter when having an awakened mind?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So I appreciate it deeply. This is for me where we start to talk about the way we experience reality from a, you know, the ancient mystics talk about non-dualism, and like what that really means. Like, what does it really mean to have a non-dual understanding or experience of the world? And in the Tibetan Dzogchen and Mahamudra practices that I studied, what I discovered, which is like, the Buddhist practices, I think, are so brilliant because they've really made a science of the mind, you know, of studying like actually like the nature of mind itself and how we experience beingness, right?
Yes.
And when I, this ordinary way of kind of the way we look out from our eyes, and it feels like the kind of experiencing a world out there, right? And from that perspective of me in here that feels like there's a me looking out from my eyes, that is the one that feels like it's like a driver or an operator moving through the world, like you're moving through a video game, you know, making your way, making decisions and all of that. That's the sort of the egoic kind of, I would say, normal way that most people kind of experience. And and a non-dual understanding is like actually how we transcend that experience of our being to a place of more dissolving of that separateness of a me in here and a world out there. And the one, you know, way that I like to point people to that is to simply like, it can help. So for anybody listening, not if you're driving, but just close your eyes with me right now and just, feel this experience that you're having and just see, for example, notice that this experience of you-ness, can you find an edge or a boundary to that space in your experience? So if you like take your awareness out to left or right, up or down, can you find any place where where your you-ness doesn't ends.
I can't
find such a place. Can you find such a place?
Oh, wow. Well, if I were to close my eyes and actually look for those boundaries, as I reach out further to find the boundary, my you-ness expands and goes further with me as far as how I interpret it in my mind's eye. And so it may be, and I could be wrong, this is what I'm speculating off the top of my head based on what you just shared with this exercise, this activity. To me, it seems almost as endless, like the sky, you know, and the stars. I mean, it seems that way. Is that the idea? Or?
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's the idea. Okay. There's, it seems endless. So in our personal, our direct experience without referencing memory or the future or the past, in the moment right now, there's an endless space of me-ness, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and in fact, it's always been that way. I've never experienced anything, but every experience I'm having occurs inside this space of me-ness. Do you feel the same?
I do.
Right. Yeah. And so the when we ask the question, then who am I? Do I have an edge or a boundary? Do I exist in an infinite space? I would say, if I was answering from my direct experience, I would say, well, I'm infinite. I have no boundary. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I truly would agree. And I'll be honest with you, Holly. I have not even thought of that or considered that until you just offered and mentioned and brought this up today about, you know, the potential of us being infinite and seeing ourselves as infinite with no boundaries. And again, closing your eyes and envisioning looking for those boundaries, for me, that's where it all came together in how you explained it, you know. And that's a very, very unique perspective. And I think it gives people the opportunity to realize that, you know, any type of beliefs or thoughts they have, you know, we can kind of limit ourselves based on what society tells us, based on, I guess, physical laws that I guess we live by in this realm. And really the opportunity goes so much further beyond those physical laws.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And it's like, you know, we're believing an idea that we're not infinite, but actually our personal experience, without a doubt, like I can say without a doubt, my personal experience, if I never read a book, if I never talked to a physicist, if nobody filled my head with information, my personal experience is that I'm infinite. But don't you agree?
I do. I have to stop and think about it. And I do agree. I wouldn't be able to say that I agreed right away if you hadn't first walked us through that activity, you know? So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's the teaching, this Buddhist teaching. This isn't my teaching. This is a Buddhist teaching.
This teaching is that,
you know, just as you're finding out that when we refer to our direct experience of what we are, we can actually understand that we're infinite.
And just think about the potential of what is available at our fingertips, at our disposal, the different opportunities that we can give ourselves with having that new, fresh perspective. It's absolutely tremendous. It's absolutely limitless, it seems like. Exactly. Now, Holly, that's beautiful. Now, Holly, you kind of alluded earlier as you were explaining, you talked about Tibetan practices and Buddhists and so forth, and you also talked about how, you know, some of those kind of embraced science in a way, and that's sort of alluding to this Eastern versus Western type of medicine, or Eastern versus Western types of practices. And so I wanted to see if you can share, for the listeners' benefit, some insight that you have or can impart on how neuroscience can enhance an immersive meditation experience. To me, that feels like an East meets West type of collaboration. Can you elaborate on that?
I would love to. And let's come back after I do that to another pointing that follows from this one, because I want to show you how we get to unity consciousness through this pointing. But I will.
Oh, great.
But I will first, it's a great question. So after I studied some Tibetan, or while I was actually studying the Tibetan Buddhist practices, I was also studying with a group called the Neuromeditation Institute, led by an amazing doctor named Dr. Def Tarrant. And he's written some beautiful books, but his mission is really to bring the neuroscience of meditation into the conversation, because I think many people, myself included, as a scientist, find it very compelling to know that meditation changes the brain, and like there's science behind that. It's not woo-woo. It's like real scientific, you know, data proves that. And so as a Neuromeditation Institute teacher, what we learned was that different types of meditation trigger or affect different parts of the brain. So for example, if you do a more traditional style of focused meditation, which means that you one traditional style is to focus on the breath, and you could focus on the belly, and that focus actually helps to activate the prefrontal cortex, the front part of the brain, which is like the director of the symphony of our brain, right? And what neuroscience has shown is that style of meditation, which activates the frontal part of the brain, is really helpful for issues of focus, like ADHD and ADD, you know, and for example. So we know that's not an issue at all in society, right?
Right.
Obviously joking. So, if you have attention deficit issues, meditation is super helpful. And in fact, there's even devices, like there's a device called Mendy, for example, that help do, I've studied neurofeedback for a while, that help you kind of train in that style of meditation that has been shown to really help people with ADHD and ADD get their focus back. So there's an example where that style of meditation activating a certain part of brain can be really helpful for certain conditions and issues and challenges that people have. Another style, just to point out, another style of meditation that we call more quiet mind, where you focus on more of the open, spacious kind of awareness aspects of a consciousness, like you bring your awareness out. You've probably done these types of meditations, like you focus on the space in the room or the space between your shoulders. If you focus on the space between your ears, you'll activate alpha in the brain, and alpha is really great for insight and kind of like a clear but open focus is what it's called. So, you know, it's just activating, activating that kind of clear, open focus. Many people have elevated beta brain waves, that kind of crazy monkey mind that doesn't want to shut off. So if you're in that, I'm stuck in the crazy monkey mind that doesn't want to shut off, then if you do these open, spacious awareness between the ears types of meditations, then that will help bring you out of beta into alpha and relieve the monkey mind. So those are two examples where we have very specific, we've used EEG monitors, scientists have, to study how the brain changes, and we can direct people to do certain types of meditation to help certain kinds of challenges people have.
That's real data.
It's real data. Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I know you wanted to come back to the another component.
Yes. So thank you. So what I wanted to, so after we understand, or we have this experience that you so beautifully, you know, articulated about, wow, okay, I've never been pointed out this, the fact that I'm infinite, not as an idea, right? You might have, people might talk about that in a spiritual term, like, oh, you're infinite, you know, and it's like, it feels like a feel good, nice idea, but
right. We're
trying to get out of the realm of ideas and into the realm of, Aubrey, I want you to have this as your experience, not as an idea, nice idea in your head, right? Okay.
Yes.
So one of the next ones that we often talk about is, you know, I'm one with everything. And you're like, well, that sounds like a really nice idea. I want to feel one with everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, raise your hand if you'd like to feel one with everything, like me.
Really
good idea. So again, close your eyes then. Don't do this if you're driving, but if you're not driving, close your eyes, feel the, going to connect to the boundaryless space, your awareness out so that you can feel there's no boundaries or edges in this experience that you're having. Everything is happening inside this experience of you or your awareness, right? And then I'm going to ask you, okay, so can you find a boundary between yourself and me? To see if anywhere in your first person experience, without going to the idea of it, can you find a place where I end and you begin? And let your mind do the searching. Let your mind work it out on its own. Can you find a place where I end and you begin?
It's hard to find that place when your space and my space, especially in this dialogue, are kind of, I don't want to say overlay, but they're kind of blurring and within each other.
Yeah.
And so when the spots and areas where they blur within each other in the midst of this dialogue, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, makes it difficult to find where I end and you begin and vice versa, because we're kind of overlapped and our spaces, our energies kind of blended in this experience.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. There's a blending. There's a way that what I experience is that there is this energetic field, this awareness that is all, everything is contained within it. In a way, I would say everything is me.
Yes.
Right. And
yes.
I can't find a place that where you exist outside of that energy of me. It just, doesn't exist. It's just, you're in a way, you're in me. It's a strange thing to say, but that's actually my first person experience.
Understood. And I love the idea, you know, we've always heard the phrase you want to be at one with something. You want to be at one with this or at one with that, but it's going beyond just the idea of it, but actually an experience with it. And I'm not very good with giving examples, but an example of the last time I kind of felt that way, or not the last time, but one of the times I felt that way is I used to love going wakeboarding. and I still love it to this day. I'm just a bit up in age, but in wakeboarding, when I would get in the water and I would, like, you know, plant my feet on this wakeboard, I would ask, you know, whoever's running the boat to wait a while. Just give me 2 minutes. And I took that time because in my mind, I had to feel at one with the water. I had to feel at one with the wakeboard. And I had to feel as if we are all fused, you know, so that I can not have the mindset of this wakeboard being a separate entity that I have to control, but part of me that I control. And again, silly example, but that is an example of how, what I think of when it comes to being at one with something, at least in the physical sense. So,
yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I absolutely feel you. And I think my sense is that when our eyes are open and we're walking through the world, this experience of oneness is a kind of energetic resonance, like all the strings in an orchestra are kind of vibrating together, right?
Yes, yes.
Like you and the wakeboard and the water. It's water, yes. Right?
Yes.
And it's all kind of vibrating together.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is, I think it's like, that is true. That's like how we experience it. And at the same time, there is a pervasive oneness that's always here, right? The teachers say that, like, you are already enlightenment. Enlightenment isn't something you have to go find. So right. That and say it's your natural state. It's what you are. It's already here, and it's a shift of perception to see. It's a way of seeing that we're not separate. And so this way of seeing that I'm pointing to, of knowing that I'm not separate, that you and I aren't separate, is by just that feeling, experiencing that there is this. The sense of a boundary between you and me is a fundamental illusion. It's an illusory boundary. But actually, if we go simply to the first person experience,
yes,
we can, even in that, just start to break down that illusion.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. That's a great way of putting it. It is an illusion. And so having this... knowing that we're infinite, knowing that, you know, we have so much potential and are so much more than what we just see physically in this physical realm. And it is a matter of, as you said, a change in mindset. Not, I mean, we always have it. We shouldn't be searching or seeking or looking for it, but it should be looking to have, or make that shift in mindset to realize you've had this all along. Is that accurate? Or,
yeah. Because the one who is searching, the one searching, isn't it. That's the problem.
Yes.
So the seeker, you know, it's like you are what you're looking for, right? You already are that. So, I mean, this has been said so many different ways in the spiritual traditions, right? Like you're the source of your own reality.
Yeah.
It's like looking to see your eyeballs with your own eyes. So it's not that you can't try your way there. And at the same time, it feels to me like a kind of just relaxing into being, into this beauty of beingness, of what we already are. Exactly.
That's tremendous, Holly. It really is. And for the listeners out there, I invite you to take this immersive experience as Holly is articulating here, and consider what she is suggesting when it comes to being infinite and being one with those that are around us, especially with nature, as we talked about earlier, as we started this conversation, taking that immersive, introspective experience in understanding who you are, where you are. Where's your energy? Where's your space? What are your capabilities? What do you think your capabilities are? Well, they're probably exponentially more than that, but you have to have that introspective, immersive experience to discover and connect with who you are. And that better equips us for connecting with nature, if I'm interpreting correctly from Holly.
Yes, when we can do the beautiful work of going to our own experience, to seeing the infinite, boundless, beautiful, perfect being that each of us is. Mm-hmm. And we explore that space as we've been doing here together on this show, and we explore who we really are and start to relax the mind that's searching and seeking for something, then the world, like my experience, is we land in a place of we awaken to the peace that we are, essentially, is one way I describe it. We awaken to the fundamental peace of our being and what we are.
Yes.
And then this energetic universe that is always flowing, the trees, the water, those energies, we can start to tune into and attune to the flow of the universe. So that's where you kind of like you feel the peace of being, and then you attune, like the wakeboard experience, you attune to the flow. There's a natural flow happening here. And we are letting it flow through our lives. We go where the river's going instead of resisting everything. And fighting everything, and like stop fighting and start just, you know, take a deep breath and just feel into the goodness of who you are. And where is this river of your life? Like, where is it taking you? Where do you feel more joy? Where do you feel the quiet voices, you know, whispering to you in the darkness, like, Aubrey, come here. You know, this is the way, right? When we get really quiet, we can start to feel it and sense it, right? You know, I'm sure you had this experience with when you started the podcast for the first time. There was a little voice that was kind of whispering to you to begin doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, no, it truly was. And to me, that was part of an immersive experience. And I just want the listeners to understand that in having these types of encounters, having these types of experiences, and considering, you know, no boundaries, considering, you know, being infinite, and these types of things, you have a whole newfound perspective and viewpoint on all aspects of life. And that can really have a positive impact on just how you walk through this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because when we start to feel the infinite boundless goodness that we are and start to feel that again, not as an idea, but as like what we are. That's why I love the first person immersive experience, because, you know, I think we're filled with ideas and it gets confusing. And like, do I follow this teacher or that teacher? Like, oh my God, this spiritual path or that spiritual path. And it's kind of as though like there's some right, perfect teacher. And if I just follow that path, then, you know, then I'll have the knowing and, you know, manna from heaven will fall and I'll have all the money and I'll
life, right? Everything's all,
Right, exactly. Everything's rainbows and unicorns. And what I want listeners to feel is to start to feel into your own, a piece of your being and the infinite perfection of your own being through this first person experience. And to give yourself permission to start to trust that, trust the experience you're having right now as being infinite and boundless and whole and full of infinite potential, and that the universe is working in your favor right now to move you into greater coherence, to move you into your, you know, whatever you're uniquely here to do. And I'm convinced we're all here to, we have something very unique, a very special, precious, unique gift that every single person is here to unfold in their life. And the universe wants this for you. It's working to show you, right? Right. When you stop trusting and we start like getting confused by the world of ideas and start to listen to feel this energy pushing and working within you and start trusting that and listening to the flow and step by step following where your heart feels more open, where you feel those quiet callings. Mm-hmm. That's the universe speaking to you. That's your heart speaking to you. That's you know, that's the path, if we want to call it that.
Powerful, outstanding. And when the universe is working in your favor, then there's nothing to resist. There's nothing to fight. Don't contest it, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
I got it, 100%. That is absolutely brilliant, Holly, and I appreciate you re-emphasizing that in multiple ways to where it can be interpreted by listeners from all walks of life. So can you share with us a little bit about heart-mind alchemy?
Yeah, you bet. So heart-mind alchemy came out of to me, heart-mind is where we transform, you know, our heart and our mind and alchemize to just what I'm speaking about, to becoming the captain of our own life in a, you know, new way of really where we're really soul spirit led. And we, you know, move into an alignment with where the universe is actually moving us. It's all being orchestrated in our favor. Now it's evolved and it's slowly kind of morphing and evolving. I'm involved in a number of different things. I just want to point out, like, I have guided meditations on Insight Timer that are on the free app that you can look up. I'm a teacher there. And some of these pointings that I've led you through, there's more of that. If you found that powerful, I've got a lot more of that.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah.
Yep. And I have a weekly newsletter that I put out that is just full of, like, you know, this, you know, helpful wisdom that I'm running across that I share with people.
Yeah.
And I do personal coaching and guidance as well. So if people are interested in that, we can get on a little call and I can tell you about my personal coaching. And then I'm working with frequency a lot. So I have I don't know if video is shared, but I work with a frequency device called the Healy, and I am just wowed by the power of technology and this kind of, I think it's like a spiritual science bridge technology that helps us harmonize our field. So once we awaken to our peaceful mind, then we're really harmonizing the field so that we can path. And I think this technology is super helpful. It's also very helpful for ordinary things like sleep and anxiety and stress and pain and lots of other things too. But I'm really excited about this quantum technology and the power of it to help move us into our, you know, being our best selves, basically. So that's my mission now. And I call it inner rewilding because the person who cares so much deeply about the earth is still here. I really want more than anything for humans to stop hurting the earth and to start taking good care of her and go back to indigenous wisdom that we used to have and live by. But I now believe very strongly that in order to get there, it's inner work for each of us to come back to this knowing of who we are and to come back to the nature within, to rewild ourselves from the inside out. And that's my mission now.
and a noble mission it is. And this is something that is no small feat from what it sounds like, but very much admirable and commendable for what you're setting out to do with your immense experience as a conservation scientist, and the work that you're doing in coaching and healing, right? I mean, and connecting those two together. So that leads me to one of my last questions I had for you, Holly. And I just want to make sure the listeners understand this as well, because the world is a big place. And I know there's a lot of conservationists and conservation scientists, and there's, you know, quite a few organizations that are working hard for conserving and spreading the message about conserving. To your point, there's an introspective, immerse experience of oneself that we must have first with the nature within ourselves, and then have the ability from there to connect with nature. So we talked about awakened consciousness from an individual standpoint, okay? But from a conservationist standpoint, which anyone can be a conservationist, right? I mean, as far as what little things that we do to contribute to conserving, whether it's natural resources or, you know, energy or what have you, that, you know, for the world, for the sake of the world, in the environment. From a conservationist standpoint, is a collective awakened consciousness more of a humanity need? You know, we have individual needs for this awakened consciousness, but from a conservationist standpoint, is it more of a humanity need for us to acquire? With the awakened consciousness at this level, you know, are you referring to the awareness on the state of the environment to where, you know, we are in a position collectively to take action, to know what to do, to connect with nature, but it can't happen without that individual immersive experience? I hope that question makes sense.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think that, I mean, ultimately, it's all one consciousness. So okay, there aren't a million, you know, there aren't 8 billion consciousnesses. Yeah. There's just one consciousness. So that's it's like a paradox, because our mind can't really wrap around what that even means.
Right.
And the spiritual truths, and then the experience that I just pointed to you actually is a pointer to there is only one consciousness. You said you couldn't find an edge, right? So I'm actually working from the paradigm that the brain doesn't create a consciousness. So that there's a whole way that we were raised to believe consciousness arises out of matter. That there was matter, there was a brain, and that it produced a consciousness. But what, right? But this teaching is actually saying that there is that consciousness is all there is. Mm-hmm. And we are arising within that consciousness, which means that when we shift our conscious, when we shift, like when you, Aubrey, upgrade to this understanding, and you start to experience this unity consciousness, and you upgrade your experience, that I believe that is affecting the whole. It's actually having an impact on all, on everything. It's not separate. So
gotcha.
Yeah. And it's very hard to talk about from a limited human perspective, because our mind is caught, and we're having this conversation in the realm of space and time, but consciousness is beyond space and time. So it like sounds really nonsensical. And yet it's exactly what all the spiritual teachings point to. And I trust that. And I also believe that this experience that I pointed to is our direct experience, that is actually that teaching in our first person experience. So I'm trusting that, that even though my mind can't wrap my head around what that really means,
right,
I have no, there is no boundary to consciousness in my experience, and I'm trusting that. So, as each of us awakens to this way of knowing, that will shift the energetics of like this body that's appearing as me and this body that's appearing as you. And as we do that individually, we're doing that to the collective. We are awakening the collective, and we are shifting reality out of the paradigm we find ourselves now to the world that we long to see, basically.
Gotcha. The world we long to see, for sure. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that and articulating that, especially collective around the world, right? One conscious, one consciousness.
One
beautiful, consciousness. One so conscious.
It's for each of us to, you know, to come into the heart love, knowing that love is all there is, that consciousness is all there is, that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And more each of us wakes up individually, I believe we are essentially waking up the collective at the same time, which is why the individual work is where it begins. So yes. we can't believe that the fix to the broken world comes from a broken space. The fix to the broken world comes from coming back to the knowing that we're already whole.
We are already whole. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, Holly. So how can the listeners connect with you and learn more about your great work and follow you?
Yeah, thank you. So you can find links to everything at hollycopeland.co, and that's COPELAND. And like I said, I'm on Insight Timer. I have many articles on Medium, some podcast links there. And then you can also find me, I'm very active on Instagram. So if you're an Instagram person, and Facebook as well now, moved to both. But you can find me at rewilding.anearthlinglovestory. Rewilding.anearthlinglovestory. It's a little long, but I really believe that this is an earthling love story that we are all on. As I say those words, it chokes me up, because I believe we are waking up to igniting a love story within ourselves and within the world. And with the earth.
So wonderful. Holly, we're going to make sure we have hyperlinks to all of those, as well as your social media handles for Instagram and Facebook in the episode show notes. So the listeners can click those hyperlinks, learn more about your great work, connect with you, follow you on social media while listening to this wonderful, wonderful conversation. Holly Copeland, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, sharing your amazing insights and just some incredible revelations that I personally have taken in. And I know without a doubt the listeners have taken in as well. Thank you so much for coming on, Holly. I hope we can stay in touch and hopefully have you back on the show in the future.
Thanks so much, Aubrey. I really appreciate the invite, and I would love to come back. And please, anyone listening, feel free to reach out, message me on Instagram. I'd love to connect and, find out more about you, find out more about who your listeners.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. And hope is always just around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. You know, when it comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. And it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovered. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.